Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Seriously, it's better than Letterman.
Is that a Ben Robin Robbo exclusive?
And I think you guys are amazing. I didn't
know that. I want to come on this show all the time because no other show would ever set me up with that much room for danger.
Ben Robin Robbo.
Streaming across the globe, Ben Norris, Rob McKnight, and David Robinson.
Ben Robin Robbo.
Welcome to the Ben Robin Robbo Show. Here's Rob McKnight.
Oh, indeed it is. I'm very excited today because it's Wednesday and we all love Wednesday. Robbo calls it hump day. But Robbo, it's been quite a while since you've had a hump day.
Yeah, no, it's certainly been a long bloody time. It's been a while.
I'm sorry, Robbo. I'm sorry to start the show off on that note.
No, it's the best start to the show I've had in a long time, so it's fine.
It's not why they call it hump day. Look, it's not why it's hump day anyway. I was just going to say, doesn't it mean something else? I didn't think it actually meant to hump someone, did it?
It's just like the hump of the week. So Wednesday's the middle.
It's the speed bump. It's like you get up to the Wednesday and then you're heading down towards the weekend is what it means.
I was looking at the monitor, though, and I was thinking maybe, Robbo, have you been organising a hump after the show? Because, like, I could see him on your phone.
Oh, he has. I want to know what he's been like. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Have you been on Tinder?
Maybe it's a love interest.
I'm not on Tinder. I'm not on anything. What I was doing was preparing for the show, making sure that I was researched and up to date with the latest news and current affairs. That's what I was doing, boys, before the show.
Well, let's see how that plays out. Hey, every Wednesday we welcome a special guest panelist to join us in bringing you news with views and entertainment too. Let's see who's joining us today.
Melissa Bell has graced our screens since 1990 on E Street, Home and Away, and most famously as Lucy Robinson on Neighbours for the past 29 years. From acting to fashion design, she can do it all. But today she is leaving Ramsay Street to join us right here on the Ben Robin Robbo Show. Welcome, Melissa Bell.
Oh, yes. Melissa Bell, hello. Come on in and join
hello,
the show.
Hey.
Yay!
You know, I love that intro.
Very, very good. Abby made that with the talents of Mr. David Robinson. Look, there's so much to talk to you about, but, you know, I really do remember the day you became Lucy Robinson. I was a big Neighbours fan, and it was probably one of the first times in Australian soaps that an actress or an actor replaced a character. And so it was quite strange to have that moment where you took over the role of that someone else had started.
Yes, there were two previous actresses that played Lucy Robinson before myself.
Yes.
And so we hadn't seen Lucy for quite some time. So she had sort of came back from boarding school, sort of grown up. She just turned 18, you know, she just changed a little bit, long hair, not brunette anymore. So then I entered the show and then that's how I started my career.
And you certainly made sure that you owned the role.
Definitely.
No one remembers those other actresses.
I've got a really good, can I tell you my Lucy Robinson story? I've got one. I know you're always like, oh, yes, Ben, please, but... because we have Melissa here, I thought I'd tell you. So I was working at Village Cinemas and I got a promotion. I could work in their head office. And when I got there, as I was being taken around the office, my new manager said to me, he was like, oh, and by the way, we have the actress who plays Lucy Robinson. And I got so excited because I was obsessed with you. Anyway, I walked into this woman's office and it was one of the different actresses that no one cared about. And I was like, you're not Lucy Robinson. And she was like, I was the Lucy Robinson at Scott and Charlene's wedding. And I was like, oh, were you one of the women wearing one of those awful gowns? No one remembers you.
We're Team Melissa all the way. Melissa, it's interesting. You've been in the public eye for a long time. We've watched you go through some really difficult times. Look, obviously, with the death of your husband, your battle with body dysmorphia, and that led to cosmetic surgery. How do you manage those things that, which are deeply personal while the whole of Australia is watching and interested in what you're going through?
Well, I mean, it's hard. And when you choose to put yourself in the public eye and work in the public and in the media, it's kind of you give part of yourself away. So it just comes with it, really. And at times I've chosen to speak about things. Otherwise something could be printed. And I would rather people hear my words, my story, what it means to me, rather than a journalist just piecing it together. Putting it together and putting it out there, and it's not a truth. So these journeys throughout my life have really taught me a lot about myself and about being true to myself and just speaking from the heart and owning my experiences in life. And I think that's what we have to do, and I think that's what experience and age has taught me. And yes, I've gone through many ups and downs in life, but it's made me who I am today. I'm quite resilient and strong, and I'm really proud of that.
Well, we think you're an absolute legend, and it's that life experience that we're looking forward to today as we talk about our hot button issues. So thank you for being with us, Melissa. You're here all day, so for the whole show, so we can't wait. Yes, that's the modern world now. You can do it all from your house. But look, before we get into our hot button issues, let's have a look at the latest coronavirus news from around the country. Victoria has reported 216 new infections, the lowest daily rate since July 13th. There have sadly been 12 further deaths, all linked to aged care homes. Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton has said he is open to reevaluating some restrictions, in particular not being allowed to drive to a park for exercise. To New South Wales now, where there has been 7 new cases, 2 of which are returning travellers and are in hotel quarantine. Queensland has recorded 1 new case from a returning traveller from Papua New Guinea who is in quarantine as well. All right, moving on. And finally, some good news coming out of the COVID-19 crisis with the federal government signing a deal for a vaccine. Prime Minister Scott Morrison today announced that UK drug company AstraZeneca will provide every Australian with a vaccine once trials have been completed. The PM was doing the rounds this morning and had this to say on ABC's News Breakfast.
What are your experts telling you about how likely this vaccine project will succeed more than the others that are being worked on?
Well, it's strong prospects, and that's why they've advised that we proceed with this and to come to the conclusion with AstraZeneca will give us the opportunity to be in the front of the pack and to be able to manufacture the vaccine here and make it available to all Australians. Timing of that, well, it's still a bit unsure at this point, but we would hope early next year.
If it does succeed and it's rolled out in Australia, who is first at the queue, front of the queue here?
Well, that would be determined by the medical advisers and how that program is rolled out. I mean, the trials are not yet fully completed, and that would help them form that view. I should stress, though, that it won't be the only one that Australia will be taking a position on. Professor Brendan Murphy is heading up an expert panel to advise us on additional vaccine developments. I mean, there are 160 around the world, and we'll be looking to take further positions, and there's already work underway on that.
Michael Rowland then pressed the PM about who would get it first.
When you're looking at possibly having to prioritise people, Prime Minister, is it the elderly, is it frontline workers who would get priority?
Well, again, that'll be determined by the medical advice based on the actual vaccine itself. And you've highlighted some obvious sort of priorities, but the final decisions will be made on medical advice.
Melissa, this is an interesting one. They're saying every Australian will have to take it. What do you think about this, the forcing of Australians to take this vaccine?
Well, I sat in this very position this morning and spoke to my son, William, who is 12, because we were watching it on the TV. Mm-hmm. And I just said, what do you think about would you have that vaccine, the COVID vaccine, if it came out? And he's like, no, he'd want to know what's in it. And So, and then he asked me, and I think I would. I think it's a great idea, because we need to do something. Look at what's happening around the world.
That's absolutely right. And if you look at it, the issue, there's a couple of things, though. It's being put through very fast. You know, usually vaccines and things like this go through years and years of development and trials.
Yeah.
The vaccine's going to come through very fast. So we wouldn't know some possible side effects, although we are obviously, we want to get back to normality. We desperately need a vaccine. So it really is a tough one. But the PM Sorry, go on.
You've got out there, you know, people that want to vaccinate and don't vaccinate. And I had that very conversation with him this morning, just sitting right here. And he said, am I vaccinated? And I said, yes. Like, I'm a vaccinator, so I am for it. Obviously, you want to see it go through vigorous testing before it does come to market. And you know, we do have the option whether to have it or not. So I'm definitely saying yes.
Robert, what are your thoughts? I really did hear the PM. He was on local Brisbane radio this morning. You know, he was really doing the rounds, and he was very clear that this will be mandatory.
Will it be mandatory? I haven't heard that anywhere, to be honest.
Saying everyone has to take it.
I honestly have not come across that as yet. You know, I can't answer that question. I don't think people should be forced to take it, no, but I think it would be right if people do. But, yeah, sorry to I just did a quick search for this and I can't find...
This was on B105 this morning with Stav, Abby and Matt, and I found it interesting. Well, he's certainly wanting everyone to take it, and they will be putting measures in, like we have programs...
But then wanting someone to take it and then also making it mandatory are two very different things.
I understand that.
But that's the same as you can't send your child can't go to preschool or kindergarten.
That's what we have.
Sorry, Melissa, I would say I'm very controversial on this, and I have been in so much trouble in the past. I once said it on Southern Cross Stereo about still believing that it comes down to the individual's right to choose. If I had children, would get them vaccinated. When this vaccine comes out, I will take it. But when it comes down to it, I still think it is going to be down to the Australian as to whether or not they want to get on board. And I also certainly wouldn't want every single person to be mandatorily made to take it if there were some really bad side effect that we didn't know. I mean, I know this sounds a little bit extreme. I know, but this sounds a little bit extreme, but, you know, that what happens if there was a really big side effect and everyone faced it? I mean, that probably doesn't seem right yet either, does it?
Look, it's not an easy thing, but Scott Morrison on B105 this morning was certainly making the point that he instigated no jab, no play, which Melissa was referring to, that if you don't get the jab, you can't go to childcare and things like that. We do have a right to choose in this country. You're absolutely right. But we are in unprecedented times. And it is interesting because there was this whole conversation about whether everyone should be traced, you know, like whether the government should forcibly trace us. That was earlier in the week. And I got to say, you know, my feelings on privacy, that I absolutely would not want to be traced, and I hate that idea. But
you should be traced. You should be traced by Amanda when you go down to get your cheeseburger from McDonald's. You of all people need to be traced.
Do not talk about my secret runs to McDonald's. My wife is sitting right next to me, so please don't do that. He certainly will be very hard line in the sand, but we've got a long way to go. This isn't until next year. And the people that they've signed this deal with, it's not necessarily going to work. You know, like, this is the thing. We're paying, now, presumably we've paid millions of dollars to have this agreement in place because we must be helping to fund that research. But Australians are doing research. A lot of countries are doing research, Robbo. And there are now concerns through some health organisations that countries are going to hoard a vaccine and only worry about themselves and not the people, not the countries that don't have the facilities for research.
Yeah, well, that's obviously a possibility because, you know, the world doesn't really ever get along, does it? So I think that would be sad, but we just have to wait and see what happens with that.
Yes, and in fact, Vladimir Putin has given it to his daughter, apparently, the Russian vaccine. But Well, apparently we're not trying to, we're not doing a deal with Russia, apparently, Morrison said. Anyway, want to meet your politicians? Sure. You'll only need over $5,000 to do it. It's been dubbed cash for access, and experts warn that it's a very slippery slope. Whether it be a fundraising dinner or a business expo, it would appear that if you've got the dollars, you get the access. And while both the Coalition and Labor parties do it, they insist that their decisions aren't based on who's paid the most money. Ben, can you separate money from politics, or do they go hand in hand? Is there anything wrong with this?
Oh, well, look, I think everyone's entitled to charge people. I mean, we've got these cameo devices. We've got different ways in which you can meet your stars. I mean, right here, right now, I've saved money because I've always wanted to meet Melissa Bell. And so I'm doing it right now and I've saved money because it's happening on the show. But like politicians, like anybody else, I think, are entitled to dip into this. I mean, I'm just scratching my head as to whether there's ever been a politician in my mind that I would like to have met or
It's not so simple with politicians, Ben. It's not so simple because we elect them and we're supposed to have access to them. What we're seeing here is as part of fundraising activities, the money doesn't go to them personally, but they are making money for the party. And what you're paying for is access to have influence. You pay $5,000 a head, you get to talk to Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, and you get to push your agenda. Whereas someone who lives out in Ipswich doesn't get that kind of access. So is there a fairness?
This has always been happening. I mean, people with money have always had more access to politicians, and then of turn, you know, people with money, especially in America, have power. I mean, that's all. I mean, you just saw that with the bushfires that happened over in Los Angeles, in Malibu. You know, people were able, who had money, to buy politicians and buy fireys to put out their fire on their private properties. So money is power. I think it's nothing new here.
Well, that's certainly true. But Robbo, is it right?
I don't. It's tough, isn't it? I don't think you can ever get away with it. But what's annoying is if you're rich, then you get an audience, you know, with these politicians, which means that you're already better than most of the electorate. And that's, I don't think that's fair. You know, one thing, everything else is under scrutiny at the moment. So maybe one thing to do is if you hold one of these massive events, one of these massive fundraising dinners and things like that, then you have to hold a town hall style meeting in Ipswich, on the Gold Coast, you know, in Melbourne, wherever, you've got to then be able to speak to the actual people in the electorate. This is a slippery slope. You pay more and more money to have a conversation with them, and then weirdly, the company that was having the chat with the Premier is then awarded something a little bit later. You know, awarded a certain tender for government work and things like that. Keep it fair is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Robbo. Look, I just want to go back a moment. We were talking about whether the PM did say mandatory for Australians to take the COVID-19 vaccine, and the ABC is reporting that the COVID vaccine is likely to be mandatory in Australia, Scott Morrison says, after signing the deal with Oxford University, unless there are medical reasons not to have it.
I would expect it to be as mandatory as you can possibly make it, which to me isn't just a cut and dry, it's mandatory.
Well, I'm nothing ever is, Robbo. That's semantics. He's saying that unless there are medical reasons, there would absolutely be medical reasons why nothing can be 100% mandatory, because there are always exemptions. But basically every normal, healthy Australian will be told to take this vaccine.
And will you take it, Rob?
Yeah, I will.
Interesting. I'm in. Okay. I'm going to take it.
I mean, I'm going to take it as well, but I also don't necessarily support that.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's great. We're an opinion-based show and you said, I don't know.
I probably will take it.
Conversation with my kids about it too, like I did this morning, and I'm going to open that conversation around dinner and just sit and talk about the pros and cons of it, because I think that we all should.
Well, it's an important conversation to have. My daughter, there was some shots happening last year, and some of her friends weren't getting the vaccines, and it became a big discussion in our house about that, because she felt like the odd one out because she was taking the vaccine. So in some circles...
You wouldn't download the app, but you'll get a vaccine that hasn't been tested that much.
Hang on.
You were very anti the app. No, you were. You were very anti the app, but you're willing to take care.
I am willing to take a vaccine that has been cleared by medical professionals rather than an app that traces my privacy and where I've been. Yes, Robbo, I think there is a big distinction and they are in no way in the same field.
There is a big distinction, yeah.
Okay.
There's a huge distinction between those two things. I mean, we do always have to be really careful about looking at things very differently. I mean, those two things are very separate. But again, I'd like to say Rob McKnight didn't want that app because he didn't want to be tracked at McDonald's.
Ben, ixnay on the Mac A's.
Well, you shouldn't have told me. I've got a big mouth.
And it's not a cheeseburger. It's a hamburger. Thank you. Look, a pair of Canadian social media influencers are giving away sperm. The couple partnered with a local sperm bank and announced the competition on their Instagram page. Ali and Sam told their followers that if they wanted to be in the running to win a vial of white gold, you simply need to like their page, like the sperm bank's page, like the post, and tag friends. Geez. That sounds so difficult. You just go and make it yourself. As always, with the internet, there were people for and against it. But interestingly, Melissa, a lot of people thought it was okay, if not a little weird. Do you see a problem with this, with the idea of winning sperm as a competition?
Look, I don't see a problem with it. Again, it's up to the individual if they're wanting the sperm, isn't it? So, you know, they're just, I don't see a problem with it.
Robert, you were sort of like, you didn't like this at all.
I hate influencers. I think that they're just the biggest load of absolute bloody rubbish. And now we've got two of them. No, I don't wish I was one, because if I was,
you
I'd have to sell my
You're
soul.
Struggling
no,
with
I don't. There's no
What's
way
What's your
that
problem
I'm...
with influencers? Come on, mate. Like, seriously. The only reason
all,
why you're jealous
they're all
is
fake.
Because
they're all that
no
for
one's...
money. They're all fake. They're all for money. They're all for free stuff.
Good
they're
on
all
them.
Doing this.
They're donating for free. They're giving away their sperm for free.
Yeah, but only if you like their profile, like the other one's profile, tag them,
That's the way of the world today. Look, everyone's sourcing our information all the time. We have to like everything.
I understand that. Like, I get that influencers can do like makeup and holidays and travel and things like that. There's just something about, hey, we're going to give away sperm for, like, what are the T's and C's? What, like, is it actually going to be done properly? I don't know. I just don't like influencers and I don't like it when they're giving away sperm.
I don't think it is influence. I mean, seriously, sorry, Rob. I just was going to say, I can understand that this sounds like a bit of a wank, but I would say also it's got nothing to do with influencers. They're handing out something for free. And, you know, I think Melissa made a very clear point.
It is about influencers. You can only do it if you like their page and tag friends in
That's
them and follow
marketing.
Them. That's
called
yeah.
marketing. So the Ben Robin Robbo show, if you get a friend to like our Facebook page, you can have your choice from me, Robbo, or Ben on whose sperm we'll send out.
Oh, God. I'm not a part of this segment. I'm taking my
Melissa's
sperm away.
Melissa's shaking her head there.
I'm going to get my phone out right now.
So, Melissa, whose sperm do you want here?
Oh, my God. No, shut it down.
News from the network. You've been fired. No one wants to know the answer to that question. He wants it to be him.
I thought Melissa said she was getting her phone out to go and like our page. That's why I asked that question.
No, I like you. Oh. No, I'm not.
Maybe I just heard what I wanted to hear.
You certainly did, and you always do. Move on.
All right. Well, look, we brought you a story a couple of weeks ago about an Aboriginal activist wanting to change the name of Smarter White Milk after he claimed it was racist and had racist connotations about white people being smarter. But the plot has thickened. Let's see what the Dr. Stephen Hagen had to say on NITV.
I was quite horrified. I got a call from Daily Mail, and they said they wanted me to comment on Mark Latham's call about, is he going to change my favourite drink, Smarter White Milk? And I said to the journalist, I said, mate, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, I drink soy milk. I said, why would I worry about that sort of milk? He said, but are you going to write to the French company and ask them to change that name now that you had a win with Coon Cheese? I said, mate, try somebody else. I said, I'm not taking that one on. I don't know much about it. So he wrote a story and he implied that I was running a campaign, and then again all the hate mail came.
Well, here's the thing. The Daily Mail directly quoted Dr. Hagen many times throughout the article. They alleged, he said, that a lot of people have raised it with him, that he recalls conversations with Indigenous people feeling offended, and that he would write a letter now in and he would write a letter if enough people approached him. Now, in a true sign of times, Dr. Hagen has unfortunately received death threats over the article. But I've got to say, Ben, I think it's a huge claim to say that he didn't say these things when he's directly quoted. Do you reckon it's just him backtracking because of the threats against him?
Look, I mean, I like the Daily Mail because it's right up my alley. It's on brand for me. But if I read something on the Daily Mail, I have 0% chance of believing what I see.
No, like, you know what? I don't think that's fair. I really don't think that's fair because they...
This is clearly a whole beat up. This is a beat up, and you know it's a beat up. You know that... Look, we've actually got to see footage of this man, which is completely different to some quotes that are apparently on the Daily Mail. But I think the fact that...
All right, well, then if they lied, this is a hell of a charge to accuse a journalist of lying in their copy when they had direct quotes. If he lied, go to the press council, file a formal complaint and get that journalist in trouble because I don't believe it. When a journalist puts direct quotes on, it means they have... I believe your story that they called him.
Are you suggesting that a journalist never makes up a grab, especially
yes,
the Daily
Mail? Absolutely... No.
You're saying that every single journalist in the whole world has never created a false grab or a false...
I'm not saying every journalist, but I'm saying...
But you're saying everyone at the Daily Mail...
The journalistic code of ethics is not about making up quotes. Even in tabloid magazines, and I'm sure Melissa can give her a verdict on that, even then they don't quote the person directly. They'll say sources or friends if they're making stuff up.
True. That is true. They do say that.
There is a distinction between attributing quotes directly to someone and being accused of making up a story. We're in an age where we call fake news on everything, and I just think you have... throwing a big stone here if you accuse a journalist of lying about direct quotes.
Well, we are.
And it's like, Daily Mail. And it's Daily Mail's not exactly like the pinnacle of journalism in Australia. That's been pointed out time and time and time and time again.
So every journalist on the Daily Mail is a piece of shit that doesn't actually...
That's not what we said.
You just attributed a fake quote to me.
Sorry. Melissa, just by the way, I just want to say welcome to the Ben Robin Robbo show. We're all friends. I know it doesn't look like
it. If they're changing the story, so they might get a grab from him, right? And then they'll write around it to kind of influence what he was saying. So, yeah, they're direct quotes, but they created a story that doesn't exactly go with that. And then you look down the story and it's like, well, you know, he was actually talking about this or he was talking about that. That happens all the time. I just don't understand why you're holding these journalists up to the pinnacle of journalism when there has been so much evidence in the past, especially against the Daily Mail, for doing things like this before.
Because here's the thing. I think that sometimes people say things, and I absolutely agree that he was approached, and he hasn't been on a campaign. And I've got the article up now, and I can't see anywhere where it's saying he's on a campaign. But here are the quotes. The former diplomat and academic, who now works as a social justice consultant, has suggested Paul's French parent company, Lactalis, consider replacing the Smarter White label, which has been used to sell low-fat milk since 2002. Quote, Aboriginal people are saying that there's an inference for that it's for smart white people, not for smart black people, Dr. Hagen told the Daily Mail Australia. Quote again. Wow. There's a lot of Aboriginal...
Have you just interrupted the show to then just go and read the Daily Mail instead of...
No, hang on. This is important.
We already know the facts.
We are making an accusation against a journalist, which I think if you're going to make that accusation and call them a liar, you need to back it up with facts. And the fact is, he's made claims in there. He says that they've said he's on a campaign. They haven't used the word campaign here. They've said that... They approached him. They said that he has been quoted as saying he has heard from Indigenous Australians that they've got an issue and that he actually says it's worthy of consideration, saying
but
in
Rob,
these enlightened
can
times...
Can I just also say... I know, but just really quickly...
It's worthy of consideration.
We're giving way too much airtime to something. It's like, hi, molehill, would you like to be a mountain? Because, like, right now, the whole story was BS because it actually was really bad to the Aboriginal community,
BS.
I would say.
They rang him up for his reaction. This is the man who got coon cheese changed. They rang him up for his reaction. He's given quotes. He's given quotes, and then he
said... Can we see the grab again?
Let's go there. Roll clip.
We've had to close it. Sorry. Yes, we do have it. Here we go.
Well, I was quite horrified. I got a call from Daily Mail, and they said they wanted me to comment on Mark Latham's call about, is he going to change my favourite drink, Smarter White Milk? And I said to the journalist, I said, mate, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, I drink soy milk. I said, why would I worry about that sort of milk? He said, but are you going to write to the French company and ask them to change that name now that you had a win with Coon Cheese? I said, mate, try somebody else. I said, I'm not taking that one on. I don't know much about it. So he wrote a story and he lied.
I believe
about,
a man I can see. I'm going to say that.
Campaign. And then again, all the hate mail came.
Have you ever heard of a leading question? All of those questions were leading. Like, hey, mate, you've done this with Coon, so they've identified... Okay. I think that you are putting them up on a level. I think that they've manufactured this story. They've called him up to get quotes. He's saying, it's not even on my radar. I'm not even worried about it.
Okay, Robbo, so let me ask you this question, because I hate this idea that... anyone who works for a certain publication, and I will say I'm a fan of the Daily Mail. I've got a good relationship
Same.
With them. Robert, you worked on a morning
television. Now we know.
No, Ben, I speak my truth always. Do not ever accuse me of curtailing to anyone. I've made enough enemies in this industry because I don't curtail. Robbo, you worked on a pissy little morning show, Studio 10, right? So you were the funny guy who wore tight pants and and made a fool of yourself. So why, when you did serious stories, should we take you seriously? Because you were a journalist who did serious stories. The fact that you worked on why would you throw this poo at the Daily Mail and the journalist who wrote this story?
I believe this particular story was a leading story. Mark Latham said something there, so they thought, oh, we're going to bait this activist. Hey, you want to do this? No, I've got no interest in it. No, but you changed Coon Cheese. Do you want to do this one? No, I don't want to do it. Then we get this story. Well, the activist, and he might have said, at the end of the day, mate, some people have said to me that maybe, but, like, it's not something that I'm going after. It. Go get someone else. He said twice in that grab, go and get someone else. So,
he did say he did take it to the Aboriginal people, and that was the feedback from the community. So he was just quoting that.
So what has the Daily Mail done wrong here? I agree. They rang him up. They let him down. Right?
Yeah.
But he made those quotes. You can't, as a journalist, you cannot put quotation marks around anything if the person didn't say it.
But Rob, can I just finish this off just with something really simple? If I believed everything that was on the Daily Mail Australia, I'd believe that Kieran from Big Brother goes to the gym.
All right. Look, let's end our hot button issues. I'd love to know what you think at home. Let us know at the BRR show on all our social media channels. Now, I think we need a nice story. We're all familiar with Chocolate Rain. Remember this song, Chocolate Rain, after it went viral in 2007?
Chocolate rain. Yes. Only in the past is what they say. Chocolate rain. With your neighbourhood insurance rates. Chocolate rain.
Well, what about chocolate snow? Well, a defect in the Lindt factory in Switzerland combined with strong winds caused chocolate powder to spread throughout the town of Olsen. The town's official Twitter shared this photo of what has been deemed chocolate snow. Oh, we can't see it. What a shame. The company has confirmed that the nibs are fragments of crushed cocoa beans, that they are not harmful to people or the environment, and that they will pay for any necessary cleaning. Melissa, is this the happy story of 2020? We finally got some good news.
Yes, chocolate rain. Yay. No, I think it's a beautiful story. It's great. And it's just, it's uplifting and it's nice.
It is nice, isn't it? I'm really thrilled to see the idea of chocolate rain. Robbo, out of everything you'd like to fall from the sky, what would it be?
Oh, question without notice. I would like gravy.
Say the cash.
I love gravy. No, gravy. If the brown was raining down, I'd be very happy with that.
Oh, you would be. You would be.
Do you remember that time we went to that cafe for lunch, the three of us? I think the only time we've ever been all together in the flesh. And Robbo ordered three little gravy, like gravy bones, and he drank them after the dinner. Like, he had his lunch and then he drank out of these gravy trains.
See, people think I'm lying when I say that I drink gravy, but you can confirm it. That's right. I love it. You order one for dipping, one for drinking, and one as an after mint.
In Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where Augustus Gloop sees that river of chocolate and jumps in and is so excited, Robbo always wanted that to be gravy.
That's true. Oh, I would be in heaven. Oh, goodness gracious me.
All right, well, let's move on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And each night on The Masked Singer Australia, we have to say goodbye to a much-loved character. And last night, it was Sloth who was unmasked and revealed to be another legend of Australian music, Katie Noonan. Let's have a look at her time on the show. What a moment. Well, here to talk to us about her experience is the brilliant Katie Noonan herself. Welcome to the Ben, Rob and Robbo show.
Thank you very much for having me, lads. I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, let me ask you, you're coming from a hotel room. You wouldn't be in quarantine by any chance, would you?
I sure am, yes. Welcome to Hotel Quarantine in sunny Queensland. I'm actually currently looking at three dudes painting a building on that kind of window cleaning thing, which is really random.
They're quite cute. Do they have their
They are wearing clothes, unfortunately, yeah. So, yeah, going a bit bonkers, but it's all good. And sorry, I kind of made my bed, but not really, because they kind of, you can't do room service and, you know, you can't see anybody for 14 days.
We're not your mum.
Well, Katie, tell me, you had one of the most talked about costumes, Sloth. It's amazing. What can you tell us about the costume? Was it hard to get into? Was it uncomfortable?
Yes to all of the above. I asked specifically for a costume that completely enveloped my whole body. I wanted to disguise anything that you could tell the shape of the person underneath. I'm a very proud curvy mama, and I thought if you could see my arms or my legs, you'd be able to kind of tell what physical size I was. And, you know, to be honest, there are only a handful of curvy mamas in Australia, singers. Obviously, there are millions of curvy mamas, but not many of us in the kind of pop world. So I wanted to totally disguise my body. I really got into it. I went super method. I became Sally the Sloth. I was Sally. When they sent me the sketch, I was like, I absolutely love her. I love sloths. I'm so happy to be Sally the Sloth. And actually, when they were doing the clue packages and it said, will they show up on time? I was like, man, they got me figured out because I generally run late. So
yeah, I was like, I get you.
That totally got me. Yeah.
Well, look, you know, you are so versatile as an artist. You have spanned across so many genres. I'm a huge fan, by the way. So with jazz, indie rock, pop opera. Now, what was your strategy for The Masked Singer? Like, did you get to choose these songs and were you trying to cover up some of these genres?
So I didn't, well, the songs were suggested for me and I was like, hello, Lizzo is my queen. I'm very happy to do Get My Lizzo On. I also thought that Lizzo really suited the character of Sloth, you know, because she's a bit of a curvy girl and Lizzo is a gorgeous curvy girl with some sass. So I was like, I'm going to become the sassy Sloth. Then they suggested the Whitney tune. Well, originally I think it was Steve Winwood, but it was Whitney singing,
Whitney's been my queen since I was five. So the honour of singing two African-American women who I completely admire and respect and look up to was great. But, I really did try to disguise my voice as much as possible and kind of, like I sang with their accent, so I sang with a more American accent, which I never do. My life has been dedicated to making my voice as unique and like myself as possible. Mm. Whereas I wasn't myself, I was Sally the Sloth. So I took it seriously and really tried to disguise my voice. Gary Pinto, the vocal coach, is the sweetest guy and an incredible singer, and he gave me some hints to help. And then moving forward, all the songs they picked I loved, if I went on. One of them I didn't. And so I told them, and they were super cool with going through other suggestions. So, I understand it's a TV show. They got a lot to think of. They've got to cover the pace of the show. You know, all the showbiz magic. So,
hey, tell us, who did you not want to sing? That's controversial. We want the controversy. Oh, was it Madonna? Because you think she looks like a Pavlova now?
No, I love Madonna. I love her. I love her beauty. Face that she used to have.
Katie, talking about Madonna, you have been in the headlines this week for comments you made about her plastic surgery. And since then, revealed that in your career you have been told to lose weight and get Botox. You had to reveal that because of the backlash you received about not being part of the sisterhood and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, no, I didn't have to reveal it. I chose to reveal it.
Sure.
Purely because, I wish I hadn't written it, honestly, to be honest, because the shit show it caused was just, we got better things to do with our times,
Surely you're allowed to just have an opinion,
Well, apparently not at the moment. It's a very, I forgot about internet keyboard warriors and I forgot about those peeps. I haven't had any really serious ones since Com Games, and they were ridiculous. Like, they were just hilarious, just saying the most bonkers stuff and thinking I had all this control that I didn't have over the ceremony and, all this stuff.
Yeah.
That was the last time I'd had really quite horrible stuff. But I really came to understand people's different points of view, and of course, anybody can do whatever the hell they want.
Hang on, is it a point of view or is it being shouted down? Because when you get that on, and you're right, you didn't have to reveal the things that have been said to you, but you chose to as a way of explaining yourself because of that pile on, and that's where I was coming from with the have to comment.
Yeah, well, I think that society does put an unrealistic and pretty, actually kind of very weird, pressure on women to look a certain way and to not honour the absolute gift of getting older. I'm 43, proud of being 43, love all my frown lines, love my shingle scars, love my face because it's lived 43 years and that's a privilege and a gift. That's my choice to age without any plastic surgery or Botox or fillers or whatever else. But then I also...
what you look like when you have, you literally...
When I'm a sloth.
And I will say this to you. You have literally one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. Like, I remember when it was one of the CDs that I've still kept and I threw out a lot of my CDs. My partner said I couldn't keep hoarding all DVDs and CDs. And I think I've only got 10 left. And I swear, I've lived in this apartment that I've been in now for over 20 years, and these walls have heard you singing so much. And I just want to thank you as an artist and say, who gives a stuff about what people look like? It's about you and your art and your talent.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's very beautiful to say. And I agree. When I listen to music, I generally got my eyes shut. I genuinely don't care about physical appearance. I only really care about the kindness of your heart and what you do with your life and blah, blah, blah. But having said that, I just want to make it clear that women or men can do, of course, anything to their bodies. I was never suggesting that they couldn't. I was simply saying that of two heroes of mine that I've watched grow up since I was a little girl, Joni Mitchell and Madonna, the incredible difference in
their faces. And
the choices
I actually
they have
think,
made with their bodies, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, but it's your choice. You do whatever the hell you want. It's your body.
Yeah, you know? Gady,
thank you
so much for being on the Ben Robin Robo Show. We appreciate your time today. Cheers.
Thanks for having me. Take care. See ya.
It's the Ben Love Shot of the Day. Where are you going today? You never know where you'll end up with the Ben Love Shot of the Day.
Today we're taking you to Seoul, Korea. In South Korea, sorry. It's a partly cloudy low of 24 degrees and a top of 32 degrees. Let's get into the feedback. It's coming in thick and fast today, as it always does. Jan Murphy, Rob to Robbo, you worked on a pissy little show, LOL Studio 10. Rob, you worked on it too. Yes, I did, Jan. My point was about...
Not happy, Jan.
Jan, my point was about writing off the places people work, because that argument was sometimes said about Studio 10. We were a show that tried to do things above what a morning show could be. We did serious stuff. We did lighthearted stuff. I was making that point that you can't judge everyone by the organisation they work for. And Gavin says, I actually thought the same thing from Rob. That was a little uncalled for. Again, I loved Studio 10. I was making the point. All right, moving on. And Jamie says, hi, Melissa. Great to see you looking fabulous as always. Would you ever consider doing Real Housewives of Melbourne if you were asked?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I love reality TV because I think it's so raw and real, and there's no escaping, there's no script to hide behind. It's, it's you on the line. So,
well, yes. Let's see if we can make that happen. Joe says, fangirling over Melissa Bell. I was obsessed with you in E Street. Reggie says, free sperm? My sister needs sperm. She wants a baby so bad. Then she actually goes on to say, can anyone help my sister? They only got sperm. No. She can get his from a sperm bank in America. Costs thousands. Okay. Andrew says, yesterday Rob is slapping people with his meat. Today he's giving away sperm. What will be on offer tomorrow?
No.
Illy says, Robbo's face this episode.
I think that's fairly accurate. There,
I think it is fairly accurate. Mary says, yay, here comes the first bite of the day, stuffing popcorn into her mouth. Jen Murphy says, Ben, I loved High Molehill, Wanna Be a Mountain. Mountain says, all fighters are in the ring on this one today. Mary also says, homemade gravy with roast drippings and onion is the best. Indeed it is.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Right.
Look, it's time to go down the rabbit hole and take a look at the world through Bruno's eyes. Hello, Bruno.
Hello, hey, Bruno. Good afternoon, gentlemen. G'day, Melissa. How's it all going?
Good.
We're all friends.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, I have a bit of a sperm story, if you wouldn't mind indulging me for half a second.
Oh, Jesus. I'm worried.
It involves my boss, Kyle Sanderlands. When I was EPing the show, we wanted to do this segment on the air where all the males on the show would do a sperm test and we would figure out who's the manliest based on who had the biggest sperm count. Now, everything was going well. We had all given our sperm sample. It was time to get Kyle's sperm. And then all of a sudden, legal counsel just run out from the back office and say, hang on a second. The big issue here is we don't have a level of insurance where if his sperm was hijacked on the way to it being analyzed and someone impregnated themselves, we don't have a level of insurance that would be able to take care of the costs of this child being born, because technically it happened during the course of a radio segment. I kid you not.
That's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so to this day, I don't know how good or bad my sperm was. I just did what I did in the disabled toilets for nothing.
At work?
Wow. Not for nothing.
Sorry, at the studios?
Yeah, at work.
Did everyone do it together?
For work. Oh. No, we took turns. I think I was between the third and the fourth person. I wasn't totally last, but I wasn't first.
It was
either.
A work project.
The room to be warmed up, yeah. It was a work project.
I can just see it right now. Six security guards in an armed van carrying a vial of Carl's sperm to make sure no one hijacks it. And, you know, anyway.
I feel that Carl would prefer if we said a carafe of his sperm, something more bigger than a vine. All right,
moving on. We are literally breaking the internet. Melissa's like, what have I let myself in for?
Hey, sorry, Peter, Melissa.
You are the list king, sorry, and myself. Today you've got a very special list for us.
It is so special. I've sat down and I've put together a list of the top 10 things that are classy if you're rich, but trash if you're poor.
Ah.
Are you with me?
Oh, wow. Yes.
There's a lot of things. So let me count them down and we'll just see. I mean, is anyone super loaded here? I know, Rob, of course, you are. anyone else? Melissa, you've got a buck or two, don't you?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Look at that house she's in. She's doing all right.
Of course she's doing fine. All right, guys. Number 10 of the top 10 things that are classy if you're rich but trash if you're poor: drinking at work. That makes the world of sense, you know. If you've got money, you kind of have to. It's that Mad Men vibe of constantly being wasted at work. But if you're poor, it's not a good look, right?
So, Robo, was so that true. Like you and I?
Yeah, no, that's so true. Like, I would have to hide my drinking, but the executives could walk around with a straw and a bottle of bloody Jack Daniels, and that was okay.
No, that's the difference, Robo. No executive has ever walked around with a straw in a bottle of Jack Daniels. They had a nice glass.
I love that that's Robo's idea of a senior executive. That's what they must all be doing on the top level. Jack Daniels and straws.
And they're not drinking Jack Daniels either. It's, Maker's Mark or Woodford Reserve. Or something like that.
Guys,
so I think we've now proven that I am
poor. He's
got
poor, 10 to get
Andy.
Through.
If I'm choosing through. Jack Daniels, then I'm the poor
guys,
one.
Guys,
yeah.
If Go we on. Have a Studio 10 story for every one of his 10 examples, we're going to be here all day. So on you go, Bruno.
We haven't had one yet, but I can't wait to bring one.
Number nine, having multiple cars on your property, right? So if you've got money, you've got the Bentley, you've got the Rolls, you've got maybe a few of your Italian sports car, but if you're low on money, and you've got the Cortina, the Futura, you're trash. It sucks, but it's true, right? Number eight.
Hang on, Robbo, you wanted to say something?
Just really quickly, I'm sorry, Bruno, we're going to let you talk in a moment, but when I go to Rob's house, he's got two cars and then my car up, but I drive it up on the grass and he likens that to being at a housing commission estate and he doesn't like it. So he makes me actually move my car onto the street because of that. So it's a Hyundai, you know, it's my mum's car.
Robbo, I say Hyundai. That because I grew up in housing commission and...
Yep.
And every house had multiple, including our own, multiple cars up on the front yard.
I know they do.
So, you know.
Let's cross
well,
our
there you go. You get it.
To Bruno.
Guys, number eight, showing up to a formal occasion in jeans and a t-shirt. When you're super loaded, you can get away with that, right? You really can.
Yeah.
That's really so true.
All the Silicon Valley types, they're just getting around and just hoodies and stuff.
Yeah.
Man. If you're trash, you look like trash. It sucks the double standards. Oh, by the way, I'm not endorsing the double standard. I'm pointing it out so that it can all be changed. Number seven. Of the top 10 things that are classy if you're rich, but trash if you're poor, small servings of food. Do you notice the richer you get, the smaller your food becomes?
Yes. Yeah.
Man, some of those fancy Sydney restaurants, your main is the size of a 50-cent coin.
Yeah.
You know, Bruno, it's just ridiculous. Really quickly, because I was going to say that I went out with this guy who had really rich parents, and I went there for dinner, and they served up was lamb's brain. That was all they had for dinner, just a little lamb brain on the plate. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought rich people could afford good food. Why are we eating brains? I'm not with him anymore.
No, thank God. No, that's a psychopath. He's probably behind bars. Guys, number six, holidaying in Bali.
I agree.
When the rich do it, they do it so well. But, geez, if you can't afford that standard of a Bali holiday, it's really bogan, right?
This is so true.
Cruising around your Bintang sweater.
Absolutely.
No thanks.
Guys, we're at the halfway mark. Top 10 things that are classy if you're rich, but trash if you're poor. Walking around all day in a bathrobe.
Ben would totally do this if he could.
You're either Hugh Hefner or you're not, right?
Yeah, if you walk around like this.
If you walk around in boxer shorts.
Put it away.
Wear boxer shorts. Is that the same thing?
Something was moving there. Guys, number four.
Thank you.
Of top 10 things that are classy if you're rich but trash if you're poor, having a flag. Do you notice how classy it is in the rich suburbs when they have those beautiful poles, a flag just whipping away in the breeze? But gee whiz, if you're not loaded and you have a flag, yeah, boy.
Trash.
You're doing your country a disservice. You are. Guys, we're getting to the top
Almost
three
there.
Now. Number three, and I've been guilty of this, hooking up with your cousin.
What?
Do you know it's acceptable for the rich to hook up with their cousin? Why is that? Why do they have all the incest fun? Here are the poor like us. If we do it, we're trash. How's that fair? Guys, come on.
Bruno, it just sounds like you want to hook up your cousin and make it be okay.
No, I did when I was 15. I didn't grow up with her. So I went over to France. I met her for the first time. And I'm like, you're adorable. So, yeah, we did hook up. We were listening to Naughty by Nature whilst doing it. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. What do you mean? Wow. What are these looks?
Sorry, Bruno.
Terrified. That's
everyone's
what they were.
Hooked up with their cousin. Stop it. Guys, number two.
What's going to be number two?
Number two, having a wedding in your backyard.
Although now, COVID-19.
Yes,
yeah, I think so it's a good idea. Though.
Yeah, have you been to a bogan backyard wedding? I have. It sucks. Yeah. I whipped my head a few times on the hill's hoist. Guys, number one, what could it be of the top 10 things that are classy if you're rich and trash if you're poor? It's living on the Gold Coast.
You're
either loaded or you're trash if you live there.
You know, Melissa and I live on the Gold Coast, Bruno.
God, we're out.
Yeah, no shit. You're both loaded. We get it. We get it.
No, right, Melissa's the rich one. I'm the bogan.
No, it's beautiful living here. We're lucky.
Oh, I love the GC.
Bruno, we always love you, but we're going to leave you. Thank you very much for that, my friend. We look forward to next week.
See you guys. Brilliant. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Hey, look, before we get out, let's get a quick hit of entertainment with Ben. And Ben, an Oscar winner is under fire. Who is the latest celebrity facing some strong allegations?
Yeah, well, look, all the entertainment's quite bleak today, but Cuba Gooding Jr. is actually facing a sexual assault allegation. The Oscar winner is being accused of raping a woman twice in 2013, according to this civil lawsuit. The footage that you are seeing in just a moment occurred in New York City when a woman on the far right met the actor at Greenwich Village at a lounge. Now, Cuba allegedly invited her and a friend for a drink at the Mercer Hotel in Soho, where he was staying, and then he asked her to go up to his room. Big mistake, don't ever do that. When the two arrived there together, he mentioned that he needed to go upstairs and get changed. Now, look, this is where the incident apparently had taken place, and the allegations are not the first for this troubled actor. So, look, he's an Oscar winner. People do love him across a lot of films, but he'd be hard-pressed to get cast in another movie after such pretty shocking allegations.
Yeah. Ben, tell me what's happening with Britney Spears at the moment.
Well, Britney Spears, everyone's been talking about this for ages, but look, Britney Spears wants to make changes to her long-standing conservatorship. In court documents obtained by Entertainment Tonight yesterday, the 38-year-old singer's attorney states that Britney doesn't want her father, Jamie Spears, to be her conservator anymore. This is not a big shock for a lot of people. Now, I will just go on to say that Jamie himself did petition to be taken off of that a couple of years ago, and Britney's friend, which is one of her carers, is Jodie Montgomery. Now, that is who is believed to be taking over this conservatorship. I feel sorry for Britney Spears because, you know, look, there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and it is very difficult for us to be able to watch without necessarily always knowing the truth. But look, hopefully she's able to ascertain some of her cash if that's what she needs to do.
Absolutely. Sure. Ben, thank you very much for that hit of entertainment news. Hey, Melissa, you have been so fabulous today.
Brilliant.
Thank you for being part of the Ben Robin Robbo show.
I hope it
didn't get too naughty for you. We went a little blue there for a bit.
No words.
All right.
No
words. That's a new experience.
Thank you very much. You are a legend of Australian screen. We love you very much. I hope you know that. We will see you again soon, hopefully. Ben and Robbo, we will see you tomorrow for Tipsy Thursday and Talking Movies with Joe. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Rob, can I just quickly say something? My partner is with his nana today because he's there help looking after her and she's watching the show. So a shout out to Kay and Ben who are watching the show and Romsey.
Oh, she heard us talk about sperm. That's fabulous. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the Ben Robin Robbo show.
Stop saying it.
Bye.
Bye.
Best behavior.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.